What is up, Rush Nation? Welcome to episode 83 of 5 Yard College and Old. We have a bumper episode for you today. It's not just me, it's not just Ash. We've brought Jord back. We're doing a mock draft, and guess what? Tom's back and all. Let's start with the OG himself. Tom, welcome back to the, I suppose, control deck now, man. How are you doing?
Hi, mate. It's all got a bit futuristic in my time away. We've got a countdown. We've got graphics. Ash is as beautiful as ever. It's all beautiful.
It's been a hot minute, sir. Everything all right you're in?
Yeah, not so bad. Do you know what I was thinking today about? We saw each other in October, and that feels like a lifetime ago already.
About 4 months, man. It's zoomed past, absolutely zoomed past. In that time, your new beloved Georgia Bulldogs are now national champions, so congratulations for that.
Indeed. It was a strange one for me because there were times this season where I was literally relying on highlights, and I feel like certainly earlier on in the run, I could have dedicated a bit more time to watching them. I say I could have done. There was literally no time for me to do that, but it would have been nicer to have been to have paid a bit more attention, and I became one of those fans that I was moaning at in the past. You know, the ones who were just picking up the SEC Championship game and the playoffs and watching it there. But you know, Kirby's been close a few times, and he's finally got there. And I did not expect Saban to lose on the biggest stage, but there we have it.
It's difficult to beat a team twice, is what I think happened. Kirby was smart enough to get the job done on the second time around. Jord, you're almost perennially attached to the podcast now. It's only been a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, we did need to have some Pac-12 love for the mock draft. So welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Well, like you said mock draft and I was there. Even even when you said Ash were coming back, I still came. You know what I mean? Because I love a mock draft.
I think that's how we hooked Tom in as well. We said mock, and before we'd even said draft, he was there.
I thought we were spending an hour on mocking Ash. That's why I said yes.
This is my podcast. What are you doing?
It is off the rails already, Rush Nation. Ash, we've made it 2 weeks in a row, my man.
I know.
Co-piloting this one, and you are driving this with the PFN mock draft machine, right?
Yeah, I am. So good luck to all you guys with me in control of the technology. I usually just get asked to bring along the info, but now I'm actually controlling it. We could be in for some danger here.
Well, you're doing both. You're going to be controlling the mock draft if you're watching on the video, and then you're going to be providing the information for the audio listeners who have stuck with us through this incredibly strange and wild season at times. So if you are still listening on the audio version, thank you very much. Right, we've got a list.
We do.
Somehow I've managed to get with the number one overall pick. We're doing one round today, right, Ash?
Yes, yeah, single rounds, no trades. The order is set as of last night. So obviously the final four picks are still technically TBC, but it's based on the NFL site on where the final four teams that are still in the playoffs are currently ranked. So almost a full house, and I think it will be entertaining, as mock drafts always are. Obviously, me and Tom and you guys all got involved a bit last year, and we enjoyed them a lot last year. And it's the start of the draft season for us now, and I think a mock draft to officially kick it off was the best call. So
yeah, absolutely. And I mean, before we get anybody at us on Twitter because Tom's back, we should have given him the number one pick. Ash did a random wheel, and it just so happens that there are the no picks for Tom and the Jets, and Ash and I both got our team's picks.
Yeah.
So make of that what you will.
It's random. I did a spinny wheel. It's fine. If it weren't random, I would have made... Actually, no, I wouldn't have made myself first because I wouldn't have got...
John, have you seen this wheel that Ash is talking about? Or...
I don't even know the one. Is it a myth to you as well? But I did. If Seattle did have a first round pick, I would have got them as well. But obviously, the Jets have got that.
Yeah, it's just one person that's missing out.
Straight away, I'm questioning what's going to be happening at pick number 10, because surely, George, you're going to be bitter about that.
You've got enough picks, you're fine.
Well, I suppose we should get on with it, boys, because this, I've no idea how long this could take, and it could get wild real quick. I mean, it's not going to be wild past the first pick. If you listen to the pod last week, you know where I'm going with this one. Ash, is the machine running?
Yes, up, ready to go.
Okay, well, this one's going to be real simple. The Jacksonville Jaguars at one are going to do everything they can to protect Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to be taking, as long as it, Evan Neal, Alabama, offensive tackle. Boss, job done. Protect the golden boy. Lead from the front. Any quibbles, boys?
Zero. Nah. Zero quibbles.
No, none at all. We spoke about it last week in the top 100. I don't think you can have many complaints really with that one. He's one of the guys that are up there as the potential number one. And like you say, they need to keep Trevor Lawrence up. He's their man for the foreseeable future, and getting themselves the best tackle in the class to try and keep him upright. I think they need a bit more than just Neil, but he is a solid foundation to start it off with, really, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Nothing. I mean, you can become a playoff team without an O-line. I mean, just look at the Bengals. Yeah. But I mean, Joe Burrow going down 9 times in the playoff game at the weekend. It's just every time he goes down, you're thinking, has the knee gone again? So Jacksonville need to learn the lessons that Cincinnati haven't learned yet, and get yourself a tackle.
Yeah, definitely. And Neil's a bit of a freak of nature. What is he, 6'7", 6'8", and he moves like he's a 6'4" edge rusher at times. He's got the power to back it up. His blocking game is phenomenal, and I think he's going to make an instant impact if he does end up at the Jags or wherever he does end up in April. Day one starter with ease. He's dominant from the outset.
Well, that was easy. George, you're at 2, and you're picking for the Lions.
As much as I would like to pick Kayvon Thibodeau for the first Pac-12 player off the board, it's got to be Maiden Hutchinson, hasn't it? You know, it's keeping him in Michigan, you know, Detroit. But I think he's a better fit for the Lions as well, of Kayvon Thibodeau, with the system they play. And we've all seen what he can do. He's bullish. He's big in that on that end, defensive end. And he will cause havoc, which the Lions need big time in the backfield.
It's the perfect pick for a team that have that need. And as you say, keeping him at home state, it works perfectly. Although I would have picked Thibodeau because I think he's the better edge rusher overall. It works well.
Yeah, like I said, I think I love Kevin Fibino. I think he is the better edge player, but I just think Aiden Hutchinson is a better fit for the Lions, not just because he's keeping him in his home state. I think he's just a better fit for the system that they play. Obviously, they do have 4 front sometimes, but most of the time they do play a 3-4. And I think he'd be perfect for that over Kayvon Thibodeau.
It fits with the whole culture change that Campbell's going for in Detroit as well, doesn't it? You know, Hutchinson, you know, as a home state player, leader of that Michigan team. I think from an off-the-field perspective, it makes as much sense as it does on it.
Yeah, definitely. And he's still got lots of room to improve. What he's shown this year, the technique and the talent that he's already got, but there's also still room for improvement there. And he's gonna walk into the Lions' defensive room and people are going to expect him to lead from the off, which I think he's probably got the right attitude for it not to be a negative for him, but at the same time, it's going to have a lot of pressure on him being a high pick and stepping in day one to be essentially the leader of the front seven in particular, because you look at the Lions' defense at the moment and there isn't anyone really there that stands out. So he's going to come in as a big name and it's going to be a lot of pressure, but I think he's up for the challenge. And like I say, there's still room there to improve on some of the issues that we've seen, because they're issues that you can iron out through practice and through learning. They're not fundamental problems that are going to hamper him, at least in my opinion anyway.
Tom?
Kayvon Thibodeau, please. number one player in our top 100, and these first 3 picks in both the mock drafts that I've ventured for the site so far, this is the order that it's been. And I'm not saying it's a lock, but those top 3 picks just make too much sense to me. So when it comes to the Texans, there are needs everywhere. What are they going to do at quarterback? That's, you know, the great unknown at the moment. But Kayvon Thibodeau is not falling past the Texans in this situation, no way.
I think it'll be interesting. Like, I do agree with you with the top three as like the top players at the moment. Obviously, we all know free agency is going to be a massive thing. And there's some big edge players in free agency this year, you know, like people like Von Miller. And I think the Saints defensive end, I think his name forgets me, is Cam Jordan. I think he's free agent as well. Mm-hmm. There's some big ones, and it'll be interesting to see if anyone pick up any free agents that way and then attack other positions at top. But obviously, as it stands at the moment, I agree. They're the top three best players, and they should go either. It could go any order, the top three.
You've got to, you can't look past those three, realistically, like you've both just said, like we've all said. And it's a toss up between any of them. And like Tom said, Texans have got so many holes that you just plug anyone in and they're going to be an instant improvement. And Thibodeau is, he's off the charts in terms of if his athleticism alone, and then you add into it the pass rush that he already possesses. And again, another like Hutchinson, he's still got room to improve, but he's a dominant edge already. So instant impact for the Texans.
And the last time the Texans were, trying to build something up from the ground up, started with JJ Watt, and then it went from there. So, I think Texans fans will be hoping that the 2.0 starts with Thibodeau.
Yeah, definitely. On to me, right, at pick number
gentle,
four.
Please, Ash.
I will. I had a couple of decisions in mind, and I was expecting both players to still be there, and they are. And I think I'm going to go with not only our top 100 consensus, but also I think the player that I would personally take here at four for the Jets, regardless of where we had him in the top 100. And that is Carl Hamilton, safety from Notre Dame. I think you look at the Jets at the moment, what do they have as their safety? Will Parks, is he their starting safety at the moment? And
There was guys coming in off the street by the end of the season. It was a shambles.
The Jets' defense and their secondary in particular have, like Tom just said there, have been a shambles. It needs improvement now. And Hamilton is a player that can step into the role and be that improvement from the outset. He's got the smarts. He's physical. You can see he dominates and leads. He led Notre Dame from the back, from the defensive back. And just his athleticism across the field, getting side to side, back and forth, diagnosing plays before they happen. He's one of the best safeties I think we've seen in a long time. Maybe he could be one of the best safeties we see in the modern NFL era. He's that good. He's got that much potential. And unfortunately, he's going to be wasted on a Jets defense, but you can't pass him by at number four.
I think you might be right with that little cheap shot about being wasted on the Jets defense, because it's such a simple defensive scheme, and it's the front four get pressure and the defensive backs are just athletes. The Jets were spending day three picks on essentially track runners, people who can try to stick with the wide receiver. So Hamilton's ability to get up in the box and disrupt things that way, we might not see the best of that should he land on the Jets. But I think a lot of Jets fans have, safety PTSD with the Jamal Adams situation. The difference between Hamilton and Jamal Adams is in coverage. It really isn't a contest. So, well done, Ash.
You say that they're very simple in their scheme, but I think Hamilton will change that just by the player that he is. He's that good of a defensive back. I don't think he would accept that from his teammates. And you may not see a scheme change as such, but I think he will demand improved performances from the guys around him. And I think he can do it himself as well. So we may see some improvements from the secondary in particular. And I think Hamilton, wherever he lands, will impress. And it's whether he's got enough to push this Jets defense up a notch.
So we stay in New York. It's my turn at five. The Giants are up, and I have absolutely no idea what to do here. I've not seen a lot of Giants football this season. I know they weren't particularly good. Anybody got any idea on Saquon Barkley's contract left? Because Daniel Jones might not be the guy to continue on for the Giants, but we're not going to pick a quarterback here at five. Last year was five, right? Was it Daniel Jones last year at five, the year before? Maybe he definitely went two years ago at five.
Yeah,
the curse at five for the Giants is not going to continue. There won't be a quarterback here.
Is it 2 years or is it three?
He's been in a while. Saquon's still got a year left. They picked up his fifth option, so he's not.
It was Saquon, Jones, Thomas.
Yeah.
And then who did they take last year?
I can't remember any of their picks last year.
Dave Gettleman, there's your job review. Running back at two, Daniel Jones, Andrew Thomas, and people we can't remember. Stocks, it's got I'd say it's got to be the line.
I think you've got to protect your quarterback, and you've got to give Saquon some sort of chance, because this year's performance was absolutely terrible. And I mean, I think maybe Kenyon Green from A&M here fits well with what they want to do and protecting that things. And I think he's probably best player available at guard. So I'm going to stick Kenyon Green from A&M in.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. I wasn't going to give you a name, but I was going to say guard, and Green would be the one that I would pick out of the guards that are available. I think he's probably the best natural guard. There's a couple of guys that have played tackle most of their year in college that definitely going to come up later on in the mock draft that I think are going to transition into a guard when it gets to the NFL. But I think Green is the most well-rounded interior guard in the draft class. He's got the right size, strength. He's got good technique already. And run game is where he really excelled for Texas A&M. His run game is the main thing for him. And when you've got a guy like Barkley behind you, even though obviously he has had his injury issues, you want the best run offense in front of you. So, yeah, Green would have been my pick as well.
Nailed it. Okay, George, Panthers at six. Where are we going?
I would just say, just before I go with the Panthers, I don't mind the pick, but I like Ikem Ekwonu. I think he's an absolute beast, yeah. You know. And I do hear what you're saying with the guards and stuff and everything, but he can flip inside. You know, I think it might be a little bit wasted there, but he has got versatility across the line, and he is an absolute mauler, and he's good in the pass game and the run game. But Green is still a good pick as well. You know, still a really good player.
Yeah, that was who I was alluding to. As the Ekwonu was the tackle that I think is going to transition into guard. He played a little bit of time there at NC State, but I think when he reaches the NFL, he will be transitioning into a guard full time. Panthers,
George.
Yeah, I know for a fact Ash ain't going to like this, but I am going to go quarterback here, and it is, in my opinion, still the quarterback number one. Sam Darnold, well, that experiment, obviously, we all know, absolutely went down the pan. So, there's a polite way of saying it. But I'm going to, I think Sam Howell's still QB1. And I think, although not had the best of seasons this year, I don't think it is as bad as what it's made out to be. He's got the deep ball, he's got accuracy. Oh, he showed a bit of rushing this year as well. And I know I can see Ash in the top corner. He's not happy. I do like Carson Strong, but his injuries his injuries just still worry me. I know there's been a bit of report saying that he's okay, but it still worries me a bit. And I do like Carson Strong, but I still think, even though Matt Carroll's obviously high as well, but I'm still all in on Sam Howell. I think what he showed in 2020 is good enough, and 2021 is not as bad. And I think he can do a better. He'll do it left. Definitely a better job than Sam Darnold.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think this year has tampered his expectations and his draft stock a lot. Without those weapons around him, could we see the same at Carolina? I would completely agree with you. He's a great passer. He's an accurate passer. He's smart, and he has shown his athleticism and his running ability when called upon. I like the guy, and I liked him a lot before the start of this season. It's a bit high for me, as you well know and you alluded to, but the move to get quarterback at the Panthers is correct. But yeah, I'm trying to think who their wide receivers are. Oh yeah, of course, DJ Moore.
I don't know if Robbie Anderson is. I don't. It just depends if they're any free agents. I don't think they both are. They. You've got McCaffrey there. You've got some good pieces.
And, yeah. You know,
like, obviously,
Terrence Marshall.
Yeah, Terrence Marshall.
Well, yeah. It's worked out well so far, hasn't it? No, I don't hate Howell. I think, but it's too high for me. But it's the right pick for the Panthers. Getting a quarterback, definitely.
Fair enough. Tom, you're staying in the right stadium, but the wrong team. You've got the Giants at seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my perfect pick here at seven was Ekwonu, but obviously with Green going at five, I don't want to go overkill on the offensive line. It's a difficult one. I'm trying to think about the Giants players that are putting a lot of money against the cap, because as it stands, not only do the Giants stink, but they're $6 million over the cap. So they're going to have to start shifting people left, right and centre out of the building. And to be honest, the Giants probably need it. This is a tough one. It's corner or edge, I think. And I think that's just high value positions where you can get 4 or 5 years of relatively cheap service out of somebody. I think I'm going to go for the Greek freak, George Karlaftis. And I don't like it because I was hoping he might slide a little further to Jets. But yeah, high value position. I think a top 10 pick is a little rich for him based on his college production. And I also think he would benefit from being a complementary piece to a more established rusher on another side. So it's not the best place for him. But being a New York Giant rarely is for a college player. So, yeah. What do you think?
Would the only thing I'm thinking, and like I know you said, it's a bit too high for Karlaftis, but Tyler Linderbaum's such a good player. I know, like, not my centers go that high, but and I know you've gone offensive guard.
I can't put a center as a top 10 pick. I can't.
But
do
he's
it.
So he's such a good center. He's probably one of the best centers that. Coming out of college is so good. Would you not be tempted? I mean,
Nick Mangold was a legendary center, and the Jets did nothing. And Nick Mangold was great for 10, 12 years, but the Jets did nothing. It's the position just doesn't have the value.
I love Karlaftis. What you're saying, George. I love Karlaftis. I think he's getting a bit overshadowed because of how Hutchinson's played this year and the expectation on Fibre over the last couple of years. Karlaftis is right up there with them. And the potential is equally as good as those two. He's got the size. He's explosive. He's exceptional in the run defense. I think wherever he lands, he's going to cause issues for offensive linemen straight away. And he is a top 10 pick for me, regardless of who it is that picks him up. I think wherever he lands, he's going to improve the team. There's a few issues with his overall game, but nothing that can't be worked on. And he gets a bit too high when he initiates with the blockers. But yeah, I think he's got as much potential as the two edges we've just spoken about, and certainly a top 10 pick for me, and will instantly improve that Giants defense. The one thing I will say, but you obviously did mention the cap, is they have got a lot of... they've got a lot of edges and a lot of outside linebackers, haven't they? They obviously drafted two last year in the Jalari and Roach, and they've got Lawrence, who fills in there, Williams. One of those is going to have to cut bait in the offseason.
I think Leonard Williams might be someone that they're going to look to shift. Yeah. I don't know what the dead cap likes on his contracts, but he's getting paid a lot of money to not be very productive. And I know Williams is more of an inside guy. I know that. But that was part of my thinking process, that they've got to start shifting some of that. And I mean, Karlaftis and Ojulari on the edge is not a bad way to start rebuilding that team.
No, not at all. No, I think they complement each other really well. You've got Roach as the backup. You've got, what's the other lad, the rookie they drafted last year?
The Georgia Bulldog, Aziz Ojulari.
Yeah, no, not him. Not Ojulari. I just said Ojulari. No, they got another lad in the third round from Old Dominion. Zamines, him as well. He's still there. So they've got a lot of young talent. They can probably afford to move on the likes of Williams and maybe even Lawrence. How long's he been in the league for now? 3 years? So they could decide to keep him on for one more year as a backup and not take up his fifth option. We'll see. I like the pick, though. I do like the pick. I think he'd come in and compete for a spot straight away. Now it's on to me with the Falcons. And I was leaning towards Karlaftis with this pick for the Falcons. I thought he would still be there. I don't think I want any of the other edges that are left available yet.
Don't you do it.
No, I'm potentially leaning cornerback or quarterback.
Oh, God.
But I don't think Ryan... I don't know. Is Ryan done? Even if he is, will they get a quarterback this high and keep him there for a year behind him?
I think, I know we're not doing trades, but I think the Falcons' phone is going to be ringing off the hook
at this point.
You know he's picking at 9 and 11. So any team needing a quarterback's ringing at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going for a quarterback. I am going to go... Yeah, I'm going to go quarterback. I'm going to take Derek Stingley. Best quarterback in the class for me. Yes, he's got his injury concerns, but he is one of the most complete quarterbacks that we've seen in a long time. Slight issues with his coverage game at times, but he has got an eye for the ball like nobody else. He's got good size, good speed. If he gets over these injury concerns that he's had, he's going to be a Pro Bowl cornerback for a long time. And Falcons are another defense that need a lot of work. And Stingley will come in and give them that instant upgrade.
Is it just me that still worries about the request to play at wide receiver?
Yes. Yeah, it does. But I don't know. I think that might have been just him deciding he was done at LSU and was just wanting to play for him, if that makes sense.
If I'm an NFL scout at the combine, that's my first question. What were you thinking?
After the
freshman year that you had, year two was disrupted by injuries, but after the freshman year that you had, why do you want to change position? What was going through your mind?
Didn't he come into school as a two position athlete?
Yeah, he played both sides of the ball in high school. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was more him deciding he wanted to. He had enough. Well, not had enough, but I think he'd shown him as much as he needed to, and it was that all stopped playing, and the injury stopped him from playing anyway. And we saw it declared straight away from that point on, didn't we? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think he was just wanting to have a little bit of fun before he finished college, maybe. But you are right. It is. It will be in the back of some people's minds, and I can imagine he'll get a lot of questions about that when he gets to the combine.
It's a pretty formidable pairing with last year's rookie cornerback as well, whose name has completely escaped me. Didn't he have
AJ Terrell?
That's the one, isn't he? Didn't he have an absolutely unbelievable season this year? So
yeah. That would be a very good partnership for them, and a much improved, because I think me and Tom, when we did mock draft last year, we mentioned the state that the Falcons secondary were in, and Terrell's improved that. And if Stingley does end up landing there, they've got their cornerbacks locked up for almost a decade if they can stay fit.
Absolutely. And that leads me to number 9 in the Denver Broncos, and I'm just absolutely over the moon with who's available here. Carl Aftis would have been an absolute dream pick here, but we lost Von Miller to the Rams, and there's two guys that I would take at linebacker here, at Devin Lloyd and N'Kobe Dean. I don't think there's much in between them, but the way, and Jordan, I'm coming to you, because the way that Devin Lloyd absolutely destroyed Oregon twice this year, I'm going to pick the athleticism, and I'm taking Devin Lloyd at 9.
Yeah, I can see Tom with his head in his hands, but there isn't really much between them, and it's going to come down to what you prefer and what fits your scheme, I suppose. And Devin Lloyd, for me, you know, like I know Tom might see it differently, but he just seems to plug the holes better in the run game. Like I said, there's not a lot in it, to be fair. I'm not saying like he's massively. I just like how fast he gets down to it. And I know N'Kobe Dean flies all over, but sometimes there's a method to his madness, and I feel like his coverage is just a little bit better. But this might be me being biased. Obviously, you can ask Tom what he thinks about that. But I do have him just over him. But I think it'll just come down. I wouldn't be surprised if Dean went first if it went to someone with a better scheme fit.
Completely agree. Everyone who's mentioned that it's fine margins between the two of them, it's absolutely right. It reminds me of the Devin Bush year. Who was up there with Devin Bush?
Devin White.
That's the one. This is what it reminds me of, where it's a coin toss between the two, and it's purely coming down to SEC bias for me watching N'Kobe Dean. But I guess one thing Devin Lloyd won't have a question mark over is that Georgia unit was incredible. And, you know, for the top 100 biographies, I've been looking at the individuals on the Georgia defense, and it's so difficult to evaluate just one individual because the unit works so well. And to what extent was it that he was part of that machine that got him to that level? So I guess Devin Lloyd doesn't necessarily have those question marks that N'Kobe Dean does. Size. I'd be taking Dean, but I've not got too many problems with you taking Lloyd at nine.
Size could potentially be a concern for Dean as well at the next level. He is one of the smaller linebackers when you look at him up against other linebackers in this class and linebackers that are in the NFL. I don't think it'll be an issue. I don't think it'll be a massive issue, but it is a concern I have when I watch him. He is a smaller guy. He is a smaller linebacker. How is he gonna do when he comes up against those bigger offensive linemen, NFL offensive linemen, and those big running backs? It's just something that concerns me more for Dean than it does for Lloyd. I think you look at Lloyd and he's got that size, he's got that power. But at the same time with Lloyd, he is not the quickest off the mark when it comes to change of direction. I don't know if you guys have watched much individual tape on Lloyd George. I'm sure you have more than the rest of us. But I do think at times that he can be a little bit slow to his change of direction and also just getting off the initial back foot, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's a toss-up between the two of them, and I don't think you can be wrong at this position, whichever way you go. I think Lloyd's got the more long-term view in terms of what we've seen so far, and obviously, like Tom said, Georgia's defense as a whole was just incredible. Is some of Dean's game in that? Is it been more beneficial? It's been more beneficial for him, but yeah. I like both the guys. Lloyd's, I don't know. It's a toss-up. I don't think you can go wrong either way.
Good to know. Jord, you've got Jets at 10 via your beloved Seahawks. Where are we going with number 10?
Well, a couple of guys who I would really like here have obviously gone off the board in Kyle Aftis and Stingley Jr. I don't know if Tom's going to like this, but I am going to go cornerback still, and I still like Booth Jr. Still, I know a lot of people are throwing him in as the number one cornerback, but Stingley's still number one for me. But Booth Jr. has been excellent this year, and although he could improve on his man coverage a bit better, I think he'll fit nice for Salah. You know, I think obviously Tom can shoot me down if he wants, but what I've seen of the Jets, I think they play a lot of press man, you know, like in certain aspects. And I think Booth Jr., although I prefer Stingley Jr., I think Booth Jr. is still a nice second pick. But I would really have preferred Stingley and Kyle Aftis. But...
So thinking from a what I would like to happen standpoint, the Jets desperately need to improve the secondary. And I wouldn't hate Sauce Gardner here either at pick 10. I think he's worthy of the pick there at 10. Don't have any problems with us taking him either. Just under Joe Douglas, the Jets haven't really given much respect to the cornerback position in the draft. I think the highest draft pick that the Jets had out there this year was Bryce Hall playing at, you know, Virginia, went in the fifth round to the Jets, and he was our number one. So the Jets desperately need a number one corner. Andrew Booth Jr. could be that, but history tells us that Joe Douglas just doesn't value the position with those picks. So from my perspective, happy. But I'm not sure Joe Douglas does the same, especially with somebody like Ekwonu still on the board. I mean, I don't think Mekhi Becton is anywhere near as healthy as the Jets want us to believe.
Interesting.
The Washington football team are delighted. And that's because they've got a quarterback, Matt Corral.
Yeah, that's if he sat there for him, easy pick, really, isn't it?
Run, if we were trading, I'd have wanted to come up Ash for your Falcons pick and take him there.
Yeah, yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, because I think Corral was probably going to be a hot commodity in those top 10 picks. He's athletic. He can run as well as he can pass. He's got an explosive arm. I'm very interested to see what he offers at the next level. I think there's still work to be done. Is a team like Washington the right team to go to if for a player like Corral? I don't know. We've seen it before, Phil, for a guy going there that wasn't quite ready. But you can't dispute the pick. Washington need a quarterback. He's the top quarterback for me in the class at the moment. Yeah, I've got no real complaints.
If we were doing trades and Ash wasn't available, Tom, I would have gladly accepted a trade with the Broncos at 9, because I was never going to go quarterbacks too high for me for Denver's needs, and I would have snapped your hand off to slide back a few with both linebackers being there and the needs of the other two teams. So I would definitely have done a deal there, but I think it's a great pick for Washington. Like Ash says, though, it's been wrong before, so who knows? Who knows, but
and you if managed it was... to talk about Denver and quarterbacks and not mention Green Bay's number 12. Well done.
Well, I've just got this terrible feeling that we could be after Kirk Cousins, and then it would be all mute anyway, because there'd be no picks in the first round forever. So I don't know.
Fair comment. Now I'm up with the Vikings at 12. Am I not? It is me, isn't it? Yeah. I'm struggling actually here. I think edge is the way to go. They've got Patrick Jones, obviously, who they took last year, and they've got Sheldon Richardson, who has played there for a lot this year, as well as obviously in the defensive tackle. But apart from that, they've not really got anybody. Karlaftis would have been great, as would obviously Hutchinson and Thibodeau. Is this too early for Ajoba? That is my only concern. Is it not a wasted pick, but you know what I mean? Is it too expensive? I don't know. Looking at their roster, I think edge is the most obvious improvement that needs to be made. Potentially cornerback, but they have got Patrick Peterson still. They've got Cameron Dantzler, who they took last year. Yeah, I'm gonna go with David Ajoba from Michigan for the Vikings here. Maybe a little bit early, but I mean, he has shown almost as much as Hutchinson this year and throughout his career at Michigan what he can offer. He is devastating when it comes to the pass rush. He has an engine like nobody you've seen. He just runs and runs and runs. He never seems to look tired. He's got the speed, he's got the power, and he has been a little bit overshadowed by just how well Hutchinson has played this year. But I think looking at what the Vikings have got at defensive ends, it's a real area of need if it is maybe a little bit expensive.
I don't think it's expensive. I think if Hutchinson hadn't had the year he'd had and Ajabo did a little bit better, the shoe could have been on the other foot and we could have been talking roles reversed. And I think if that's what you desperately need for the Vikings here, I don't think you've overpaid, because you're going to get position need filled. And that, for me, stings a little bit with the Browns up next, because they possibly do need some edge help. So that has shoehorned me into another direction. But before we get to the Browns, anybody else got anything on Ajabo?
His raw talent's incredible.
Yeah.
I just think if Danielle Hunter's gone, you might need someone that's a plug-and-play starter day one, and I'm not sure he's quite that yet. But if you can mould his talent, then I think you've got yourself a solid pick. You know, right now, 12 does look expensive, Ash, but if you develop into the player he could be, nobody cares that you took him 12 overall.
Yeah.
So we mentioned the Browns. They are up next. I've got them. And they needed some edge help. It's possibly a little bit too expensive now. They need some wide receiver help, boys. So we are going to be looking to the offensive side of the ball. And as much as this absolutely pains me to say, I'm going to stick my favourite boy in here for the Browns. Now, Jarvis Landry is a possession receiver. We all know that. Beckham's gone. They don't need a speedster because Baker Mayfield can't really throw the ball that far. So I'm going to stick a guy who can go and win it on the outside. I'm going to stick my number one receiver from this draft. And I don't want this to happen in real life, but the Browns will be taking Drake London from USC. I think he can put the team on his back as long as Mayfield can get him the ball. And I don't think he's the diva that Beckham was that clashed with that Brown staff and personalities. So it's going to be Drake London. And I really hope the injury means that he's back to full health and can show what he showed at USC in Cleveland.
It's definitely a nice pick for Baker Mayfield. You know, he's a safety blanket, Drake London. Just throw it up for him and he'll grab it. You know, I wouldn't mind Garrett Wilson here, you know. Like, I know what you're saying about Mayfield not being able to throw it that far. But I think Garrett Wilson's a threat on all three levels. And I think he'd be, like you said, with Landry, maybe potentially, who knows what's going to happen. And then the rest of them, there's not much there. I just think Garrett Wilson would have been a good pick. But I don't hate Drake London either. I think I love both of them. They're my one and two wide receivers, and I'll have them in any order.
Yeah, I think we had a bit of a discussion about the wide receivers a couple of days ago in the chat, and it's a toss-up between four of them. London's my one, and I think I've got to agree with you. I think he would be the best fit for Baker and for the Browns. He just reminds me a lot of Evans. Just the big play potential, the end zone threat is... I mean, Baker Mayfield's going to be laughing if Drake London rocks into town with him, if he's over the injury, which I think he will be. I think we would have probably heard something by now if he was struggling. But he's got great hands, he's got the speed, and like I say, big play and red zone threat is there on every play, basically. And I hate it because it's the Browns that have got him. Potentially. In this draft they have, anyway.
George, you're up 14, the Ravens.
Yeah, and I would have liked David Ojabo here because I think it's an aging defensive line, you know, for the Ravens, you know. So, and I would like to say, I think a few of you mentioned, you know, his ceiling's ridiculous high. If he can put it all together, he's going to be an unbelievable talent. But it's probably made it an easier pick with him off the board, and obviously protecting Lamar, you know, and obviously opening holes in the run game. And Ikemekwunu's still there. I thought he might have gone by now, and I think it does make more sense for this pick. I think David Ojabo would have been not something they desperately needed, but yeah, I'm going to go Ikemekwunu. I think he's an absolute bully in the run game and the pass game, and we know how much protection Lamar Jackson needs at times. So yeah, Ikemekwunu for me.
Yeah, I like this pick a lot. Like I mentioned earlier, I think he will transition into guard when he gets to the NFL just because of his size and the way he dominated for NC State in the run game in particular. Lamar's going to be loving that, and so are the running backs behind him. He's strong. He moves people where he wants to move them. It's crazy. Sometimes it's like he's not pushing anything. He's just walking forward with a player in his hands. Yes, it's going to be a little more difficult when he gets to the NFL, but I think he's going to be an instant, put him into guards. He's going to start day one, and he'll improve them straight away. Who have they got at the moment? They've got Kevin Zietler, and I don't know who their other starting guard is. I know they took Ben Cleveland to...
I'm just looking at it because I must have, I didn't know. I've just pulled up the depth chart. It's Ben Powers.
Ben Powers, yeah. Okay, so, I think he starts over Ben Powers from the off, and then obviously Zietler. And that line looks a whole lot better with him in place. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of that pick. And I'm surprised he's gone as low as he has done.
I'm in a bit of a sticky wicket here with this next pick. There's two players that I'd love to take, but I don't want to say too much about it in case it influences the next pick, because obviously it won't be me making it for the Eagles. Oh, wow. Right, it's a toss-up, defense or offense. Do you know what? The playoff game has changed my mind here, and it hurts me to say it because one of my favourite players has been sort of muscled out of the way. Jason Kelce has a lot of questions to answer after his performance against the Buccaneers. And so now it's time for a player like Tyler Linderbaum at centre to go off the board. So I'm going to take Linderbaum to Philly.
I was hoping you wouldn't, because that was going to be my pick. I love Linderbaum as a centre. He's clearly the best centre in this class by a long way. It's not even close in terms of him to the next centre. And he's probably going to be one of the best centres we've seen come in a few years. He's strong, he's athletic, he's a great interior blocker. And obviously, he's going to improve. He's going to improve from Kelce. I agree with you. I think the last couple of years, we've seen a decline from Jason Kelce. And no more so than in that playoff game, like you said, Tom. I'm just a bit annoyed that you've taken him because that's made my next pick a whole lot harder.
I believe in you, Ash. I know that somewhere in the universe we're on the same wavelength. And you know what the pick is.
Do you know what? I don't think we are. Actually, no. Do you know what? I don't know if we are, but I'm going to go with what I'm going to go with what I'm hoping you're also thinking, but I'm now talking myself out of it. So I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go with Ahmed Gardner, cornerback from Cincinnati. That wasn't it. Well, it's it for me. I think Ahmed Gardner, I'm a big fan of Gardner. I think he's right up there in the conversation behind Stingley and behind Booth. And what he has done on this Cincinnati defense stops me. And you have spoken about this on a number of occasions. He didn't give up a touchdown in college.
Yep.
He never gave up a touchdown. Regardless of who you're coming up against, that's mightily impressive. He is an incredible talent when it comes to the cornerback position. He's got great size. He's got great speed and agility. And his coverage is incredible. We've got one of the best coverages coming into the NFL in this whole draft class. Yeah, it might be a tad of a luxury pick, considering they have obviously got Steven Nelson and Darius Slay there. But I think those guys are both aging and they need some fresh blood in this secondary. Who were you? What were you going for, Tom? Then
I'm not going to say because I'm now thinking that I've got the next pick for the Eagles, and I do hold hope that he'll still be there. Of course,
they've got three picks, aren't they?
When he's off the board, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I like the Ahmed Gardner pick for the Eagles. Like you say, his coverage. I know Eagles play a lot of man coverage as well, and he's unbelievable. He's got, keeps up with some of the fastest players in college. He's going to be absolutely fine then. I know you mentioned Slay and Maddox, but I think Ahmed Gardner could be the number one. I feel like Slay and Maddox, like you say, are aging, more number two cornerbacks going forward, and I think Ahmed Gardner could be that number one. So I really like that pick.
Well, that leaves me at 17 with the Chargers, and I am in a quandary.
We're not helping you this time.
Well, I mean, we could be here a while.
All three Chargers fans are screaming the same name at you, Stocks.
Well, if they want to help me out, like get involved, let me know, because I genuinely don't know where to go here. Guard would have been great.
Yeah. So it's a 3-4 defense in need of someone in the middle of it to stuff the run.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think.
I mean, keep talking out, boys. This is really helping.
I still like Jerry Tillery. I know he's not had the best of starts at the Chargers, but I still like him. And I think, if anything, it would be. Wouldn't you want someone alongside Bosa?
But is there anyone of value at this point to go alongside Bosa?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I'm just looking. You're right. No, there's not.
I think
not.
You've got a little bit of versatility from DeMarvin Leal, but
yeah,
I'm looking to my man the Bulldog for this one.
You want a proper defensive tackle?
Yeah.
Runs. No, yeah. Okay. Do you know what? I don't know. I think they've got bigger concerns elsewhere. I would still. Do you know what? I would be looking at cornerback. Actually, looking at what they've got, they picked up Asante Samuel last year in the second round. Who have they got apart from him at cornerback?
Is Mike Williams going to hit free agency as well? Do we think he's likely to hit the market?
I think so.
Oh, Stocks. See, now you've got the luxury of choice. Now you're going to pick four players with the number 17 overall.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It is.
We're giving you a defensive tackle, cornerback, and wide receiver.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, guys. Given Justin Herbert the weapon, Garrett Wilson would clearly be the pick here, like George said. Danger at all three levels. DeMarvin Leal, they've got him at 6 here. Is that a value at 17? Will he help, like, stuffing the run, like Tom says? And then, do we go and find a corner a bit further down? But there isn't anyone here that is a little bit high. And I want to take DeMarvin Leal because I feel the value's there. But now Let's just give Justin Herbert the weapons. Let's get Garrett Wilson in at the Chargers. Let's fire up that offense and see what happens, baby.
That could be a beautiful thing.
Herbert and Wilson, if they get together, people are going to be in trouble. That would be an incredible partnership. That really
defense.
Yeah, no, you're
it's
right.
It's not like this weekend at the playoffs has been absolutely dominated by great defense, but it is defense.
Do you know what as well? Wilson, probably one of the best route runners in this class, along with his after the catch play as well. We've seen Herbert get the ball where he wants to put it, and Wilson will be there every time. His route running and his quickness and just his overall intelligence when it comes to the wide receiver position. If this was to happen, yeah, I don't think anyone would care about their defense because those two would just be connecting all day long before you even take into consideration the running backs and if Williams stays and if Keenan Allen stays and whatever else they've got on offense.
There's plenty of time to adjust and address the rest of that need. But we've fired up a serious partnership there. Before we get to 18, the Saints, Jord will be picking for them, Rush Nation. This is going to go long. Don't know whether it's going to be a two-parter yet. Who knows? The video is going to be, you know, Lord of the Rings-esque. It's going to be an absolute monster. But we're here for mock draft season, baby. Jord, over to you at 18.
I think it's definitely going to be a two-parter with me thinking about what the Saints are going to do here. Jeez. It's not great. It's not a great organization to be in charge of, is it? Because obviously,
if you like cap space, it's not.
So obviously, I'd clearly be looking at wide receiver here because I look at the wide receiver options and it's like there's nothing there, but there's no one to throw the ball either. You know, really. You know, obviously, we'll see if I think Jameis Winston won a 1-year contract. Am I right in thinking that? So I don't know if they'll retain him, and obviously you've got Taysom Hill there, Trevor Seaman. I know they took Ian Book, but it's really
we've seen what he can't do.
I don't really like it, but I just look at the wide receiver room, and it's a start to making something happen there, and it's not the greatest wide receiver room, and I'm just going to have to. I know. Tom's going to hate this, but I'm going to have to take Treylon Burks, you know, for the Saints. But even I don't like it, Tom. I don't like it.
What's he done to upset you?
But there's
Treylon Burks catching passes from Taysom.
I could go. I know that one of these defensive tackle, but I know DeMarvin Leal's up there, but I look at DeMarvin Leal, and he's a good athlete and stuff. I don't really know what to do with him. I don't know where to play him on the Saints. So, yeah, I'm with you, Tom. I don't like this pick, but I'm going to have to take Treylon Burks. I'm sorry.
I just feel for him.
I think wide receiver is there. Obviously, ignoring the obvious, I think wide receiver is probably their biggest area to improve right now. I like the pick for the Saints. I hate the pick for Burks because me and Tom were in love with him last year. It's only improved this year. He's ridiculous, just massive in every way. He's a big lad, great in the air. He's got great hands and. Yeah, he's a lot quicker than you'd expect from a guy that size.
He might be catching some, you know, 65, 70 yard touchdowns in the games where Jameis plays in between three interceptions.
I don't know. There might be a quarterback out there that they pick up that they might get a bit of a bargain. Who's a accurate passer and is probably going to be going in the second round. Have they got a second round pick?
I think so. Must do.
Yeah. I reckon they'll be just fine.
Okay, my guy's still here at 19 for the Eagles, so I'm glad I didn't fess up. It's N'Kobe Dean, Georgia linebacker. I think he's not quite going to be the replacement that Philly needs on the defensive line, and I really did give thought to DeMarvin Leal. I would have absolutely no problem, and I know it was me that took Lindebaum, but I have no problem with Philly just going three defenders here. So it could easily be DeMarvin Leal, Sauce Gardner, and Nakobe Dean. And I mean, if you can get three day one starters in one draft, I think you could revolutionise your team. But for me, I don't think Nakobe Dean can fall out of the top 20. I think he's 20 in our top 100, 19 here. I think it's really good value to get Nakobe Dean 19th overall.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the pick. We spoke about it. We spoke about him when we were talking about Lloyd. Yeah, it's a good pick. And like you say, Eagles need help on the defense on a couple of areas. So I don't think you can go wrong with that one. And like you said, I don't think you could have gone wrong going all three defensive players. So
who's up next?
You've got the Steelers.
I have got the Steelers, yeah.
And Ashley's favourite quarterback still on the board.
No. It won't be him, unfortunately. He's not
you know, my... You're making the pick here, don't you?
I know I'm making the pick here, yeah.
You've got the power.
I have got the power, yeah.
Don't ruin it for everyone else.
I won't ruin it for everyone else. It's got to be quarterback, really, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. Roethlisberger's gone. I think that's quite evident from what we saw in the playoff game and the last game at Heinz Field. And I've got to stick with my gut when I did my initial rankings and go with my number two quarterback, because the number one quarterback for me at the moment has gone off the board. And that is the guy who's going to be staying in state, in town, Kenny Pickett from Pitt. I just think he is more than capable of walking in as a day one starter than a lot of these quarterbacks that are going to be in this draft class. He's great in the pocket. He's got great deep ball. He's intelligent. He already seems like he's a leader on and off the field. I just look at his tape and everything I see from him. I think he's one of the most ready to step in and start straight away. Yeah, maybe his overall potential is not as incredible as a couple of the other guys here, but a team like Pittsburgh, with the players they got around them, they're not far off of still being able to compete, and they need a quarterback that can step in straight away. They don't need a development player on their hands with some of the players around them getting on and potentially only having a couple more years left. I think Kenny Pickett can step in day one and be that starter.
Completely agree. You look at the weapons he had at Pitt, they weren't, you know, the trophy lifting names that we know of wide receiver like some of the other teams have. They're still on the board here, and then you give them the weapons that he may well still have at Pittsburgh. No one knows what's happening with Juju, but Deontay's still there, Claypool's there. They got the running back as well. Harris?
No,
I think it's a great move. Keep him in state. He's played there, obviously, with Pitt as well, and I think it's a top draw move.
I don't like it.
No.
No, I'm not sold on him. It's just something about him that I just feel like going into the next level. I think he's more of a college quarterback, and he will offer some. I'm not saying that he's a bad player. I just don't think he's a starting quarterback, and he's going to be 24 years old when he throws his first ball. I don't know. I might be wrong. There's something that's just putting me off him. You probably see more than him and me, Ash, to be fair, but I just
think he's more ready than the other guys. But at the same time, isn't going to be the guy who's the most flashy. I think he's the safest of the options, if that makes sense. And I'm going for safe for the Steelers.
Mason Rudolph not safe?
Nah, get out. Haskins, he's the future.
Oh, let's get this train back on track before we get right off the rails. At 21, the New England Patriots are picking. How is he still there? How is DeMarvin Leal still there?
Crazy.
I want to pick him because the Patriots do have a need here, but they also have a need at safety. And Daxton Hill is unbelievable with what we saw him do this year at Michigan. But I don't want him to go and be a disciple of Bill Belichick and get even better and dominate from the safety position in New England. But I think it fits better than the defensive tackle with Neil. So I'm going to take Daxton Hill. I'm gonna give him to the New England Patriots. I'm terribly sorry, Tom.
It's not too much of a problem until it does become a problem, because you know that Bill Belichick hits on his picks in the secondary more often than not.
It's just such a New England pick. The silence is deafening. Nobody's got anything bad to say about it. It's just a New England pick. It fits right. Let's move to 22. George, you've got the Raiders.
This might get a bit of people talking. Well, you three talking here, but... And it's going to be a pick that you're not going to see much of early on. But later on, it's going to be a good pick. And it's... I know he had his injury in the championship game, but I'm taking Jameson Williams here already. I think, obviously, with Ruggs leaving, they've left that over the top threat, you know. And we've seen what he can do. And like I said, it is a risky pick, but I think we've seen people come back from big injuries like ACL injuries. And like I say, it's obviously we might not see him until middle of the season, but and it is controversial, I agree. So I'll take all the stick from you three guys second, but I'm taking Jameson Williams.
The Raiders taking a speedster from Alabama. What
could do you know what? If it wasn't for that narrative, I would have no complaints with the pick. I love Williams. I'm bitter that he left Ohio State, but at the same time, if he hadn't have done, we wouldn't be talking about him right now, because there's no way he'd be playing like he had done in Bama. And that showed for his time in Ohio. I think in 3 years he caught six passes or something like that. The injuries are concerned, but like you say, people come back from ACLs and not miss a beat nowadays. It's not as concerning as it used to be. This guy is a big play waiting to happen whenever the ball gets near him. So, yeah, I don't hate the pick, but, yeah, we've seen, as Tom said, we've seen Bama speedsters at Vegas before. Maybe it's a Derek Carr thing, I don't know.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay, Tom, you're back on the clock. 23, the Cardinals.
Yeah, the pick's already in. Charles Cross, left tackle, Mississippi State. DJ Humphries is in a contract year. He's 29 in the coming season. So that gives the Cardinals the ability to either see if Cross can shift over to right tackle or the eventual replacement there at the most important position on the offensive line. And for me, as a pure pass protector, if we're judging on that, Cross is the best pass protector in this offensive tackle class. You probably could make the argument that he might be wasted should he get shifted out to right tackle, but people said that about your man at Detroit. You gotta help me here, kids.
Oh, Penny Sewell.
Of course it is Penny Sewell. Yeah, that top blue chip prospect from 12 months ago, I've forgotten already. Penny Sewell getting shifted to right tackle, people said it was a waste, and it's worked out great for him by and large. So yeah, I think we might see a year across at right tackle and then shift over to left depending on what they do with Humphries.
Yeah, I love Charles Cross. I'm right there with you with this guy. He is he looks like an exceptional talent. One concern I do have, and I'm hoping that he has got the smarts to learn it and overcome it quite quickly, is run blocking. Obviously Mississippi State air raid offense. He's not played a lot of reps as a run blocker, but he looks to have the potential for that not to be an issue. I think he should be able to pick that up quite easily. And like you say, yeah, maybe a year at right tackle, then transition to left tackle could do him a world of good, because you're right, he may not be a starter if he was to be the left tackle in year one. But if he plays right tackle, he should be a day one starter and get that development early.
You're on the clock, Ash. 24, those Dallas Cowboys. The
Dallas Cowboys, yeah. So there's a couple of areas that I initially looked at when I put myself down as the Cowboys. First off, and probably the most glaring for me, is safety. But I'm not the two safeties that I would personally take around this sort of area and or higher have gone. I think it's a bit too early for Brisker from Penn State. And then you've also got defensive tackle. And now DeMarvin Leal, who we've mentioned a number of times now, is still sat there. Somehow he's still sat there at what, pick 24. And I think it'd be crazy for me to ignore him for the Cowboys. I think he would be an instant upgrade over Gallimore. Is it Gallimore who's their starter? So yeah, he can't slide anymore. DeMarvin Leal is the pick at number 24 for the Cowboys, which no one's going to like because no one wants to see the Cowboys picking up a player like Leal. But Leal's crazy. He's played in 4-3 and 3-4 as a tackle at an end. He's got crazy power. He's explosive. He causes problems whenever he lines up a lot across the line. So yeah, he could prove an immediate impact for the Cowboys.
That makes my decision very easy for the Bills at 25. I'm taking Jordan Davis, defensive tackle from Georgia. I don't really know what the Bills need apart from the list that I've got in front of me. I would have taken a running back if this was fantasy football because the running back situation there is bad, but Josh Allen vultures everything. Tom, is this a good move for Jordan Davis, the Bills, and the Georgia prospect?
It's an absolutely terrible selection for my team and my precious quarterback who was hit far too many times. I mean, looking at that Bills defensive front, they are able to get pressure. Whether or not he's a scheme fit, I'm not entirely sure. If memory serves me correctly, I think Buffalo primarily run a 4-3. But Jordan Davis is the sort of player that has got to play nose tackle, one tech, right on the centre, or thereabouts. And what he's able to do is he's able to get pressure up the middle against the run, but also he's able to help pockets collapse. And when you've got somebody like Gregory Rousseau on the edge, and Boogie Basham's played a little bit of time for them off the edge this year as well, I think he can really help those guys on the edge of the line find the gaps because he just makes pressure. His ability to bully his linemen and also just take his linemen with him when he's going towards the running back is incredible. The amount of guards or centers that he's just taken with him on his way to the ball carrier is superb. And I think if it was DeMarvin Leal, I'd be saying it's a home run because he's got that positional versatility that maybe a Gregory Rousseau has. But Jordan Davis, I mean, the one concern for me is how much time he spent on the field. You know, we're looking at somebody who played half of Georgia's snaps. So he's very much a situational guy. But there's depth on that Buffalo defensive line, so maybe they could use him well.
Good to know. I think it was nice to come to you for the Georgia breakdown. And obviously I would have liked Leal, but he went and maybe Davis was the wrong pick there. But it was pressure. The clock was ticking and it got the better of me. George, 26.
I don't think Coach McDermott will be too displeased with your stocks.
He loves
his big boys.
Yeah, I don't think it's the wrong pick. I think if Leal was there, you'd be laughing. But I think Davis would fit in well there. But I do agree with Tom. Maybe an issue with the scheme fit and an issue with Davis as a whole with the amount of football he's played. But there's no denying the talent this kid's got.
Okay, thanks. Titans 26, Jord.
I know what position I'm going here, and we saw at the weekend with the Titans where they just struggled to get them. Obviously, they've got AJ Brown, and that's Julio Jones is clearly not himself. I don't know if they'll keep him on again. So they have AJ Brown, and that's it really as a target. I'm going to go Chris Olave, but I know he's very low down on the rankings here, and we've got so many Georgia players here, and so we've got Tom to maybe back me up. It'll be interesting going forward to see interviewers in the combine with George Pickens, because we saw how good of a player he was, and obviously the injuries put him a setback. But if he can prove to people that he's over his injury, you know, like, and he's an unbelievable wide receiver. So I am throwing that in there, but I am still going to go Chris Olave, because obviously where we're at now, we haven't seen the combine. But George Pickens is one to watch, but I'm going to go Chris Olave. Still a fantastic player, Chris Olave, and he can line up anywhere along that line. And I know I've seen a lot of people on Twitter like saying that he's nowhere near the level of Garrett Wilson, and I see the point, but I still think he's really good. I think people are, because he's been around so long, he's stayed back an extra year, people are putting him down and stuff, but I just think he's still a really good receiver, and he would be a good fit for the Titans to go alongside AJ Brown.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you're wrong to take him over Pickens. There's too many question marks over him.
Yeah, definitely. I'd have to agree with you as well. I think Olave he's got the ability to play on the outside, but he's also got the ability to play in the slot. He's an incredible route runner. There's some issues with his size overall, but I think we've seen him overcome that in college, and he's one of the more complete wide receivers for me here, and slotting into that Titans offense alongside Brown and having Tannehill throw the ball to you, I think would be a great fit for him and for them.
Is it just me that thinks that the Titans might be a sneaky team to look out for a quarterback? That's a yes.
No, I mean, what's Tannehill now? He's got to be 32, 33 now.
I'm thinking we could get a bit of a Trey Lance situation, and Malik Willis could find himself in Tennessee.
They've got the luxury. They have looking and learning. They potentially have the luxury to do that as well. I think their roster as a whole is good. There's only a couple of areas that you'd look to improve, and even those areas, are they really in a bad way? Yes. Wide receiver's probably that one if Julio Jones isn't going to be coming back or can't come back. You are just stuck with AJ Brown and then a few young guys around him and maybe some free agents. I think that's probably the only other area. They might well be looking at quarterback because there isn't anyone behind Tannehill if he gets hurt and he also is getting on. And like you say, someone like Malik Willis can easily sit there for a year and develop his game and iron out those kinks that a lot of people have seen. Behind an incredible quarterback on a playoff team.
It's me with the Buccaneers now, and I know they need a running back, but I haven't got a running back with a first round grade. The defensive tackles have flown off the board in terms of particularly DeVarvin Leal. Obviously Chris Godwin's a free agent. There's a lot going on, but a little bit of recency bias now for me, and Carlton Davis getting burned on that Cooper Kupp touchdown. I mean, it was just, let's get a cornerback. So Kyrie Lamb, Florida.
Yeah, cornerback.
And that's a pick just for Murph, you know, a Florida Gator going to the Buccaneers. You know, after Georgia winning the Natty, he has to have something to smile about.
I think, yeah, quarterback was the one here for me. I think, like you say, I haven't got a first round grade on any of the running backs in this class either. And when I look at the roster, it's wide receiver, and I say it's wide receiver. It's wide receiver if Godwin goes,
and quarterback situation isn't so bad, you know.
No,
I was looking at Tampa's cap, and I think they're looking at about 20 or so million. Now that'll quickly disappear because JPP, if they bring him back, is going to need paying, and Damakong Su, Ryan Jensen. There's a lot of people to pay, but I would imagine that their cap situation would be more disastrous than it in fact is.
I think you're right. Packers, it's me. It is me, and it's the one that I really haven't looked at all. So this is a completely on the fly selection here, and there's a few directions I could go. What's going to happen with Rodgers? What's going to happen with the wide receivers? A lot of the areas on defense need help.
This is a really tough call. They avoided... Did they? Yeah, they didn't take a wide receiver last year, did they? They avoided wide receiver last year, to the surprise of many, I believe. And I'm
it
not going
to... It seems to be a yearly thing for the Packers.
It does, doesn't it? And am I going to do that? Am I going to do the same and avoid the Packers for a wide receiver? There's no linebacker. I think linebacker needs help, but after the top two guys go, there's no one else with a first-round grade for me. There's not a wide receiver with a first-round grade for me left either. Bell's my next guy up, but he's not quite there. Wow, this is horrible. I'm really struggling with this pick.
If it makes you feel any better, mine at 29 for the Bengals is as clear as glass.
Well, you're getting, yeah. I mean, do you know what? I'm looking at it now. How old is he? Okay, he's not as old as I thought. I'm going to go for a tackle, an offensive tackle.
Oh, I'm going to take Cincinnati Bengals. Hate you right now.
I'm going to take Trevor Penning from Northern
Iowa. You son of a...
Because, like I said, there isn't a wide receiver with a first-round grade left for me. There isn't a linebacker with a first-round grade left for me.
You just want to see Joe Burrow with no legs.
Well, I do, but at the same time, I'm looking at both of the tackles for Green Bay. You've got David Bakhtiari. I can never say his name.
Bakhtiari,
and then another guy who is their right tackle. I don't know who that is. So I think Billy Turner. Yeah, I think tackle is the most obvious choice with Penning still sat there and me not being too impressed with, I didn't say too impressed, that's the wrong word, but there's no other areas of need with a round one that's round one that I want to reach for. So I'm going to take Penning in the tackle. He's got a lot of room to grow in terms of his overalls, but he's got an incredibly high floor. He's strong. He's got a great frame. And I think, and he's athletic enough already to have some involvement with time to develop behind those more experienced guys for a year. So apologies, Bengals.
Apology accepted. On behalf of Joe Burrow's short career in the NFL, I would like to say thank you for your playoff run in 2022. Wow. Okay,
are we saying thanks for the memories to a 2-year quarterback?
Yep, we definitely are. Just his legs.
There's no one left. He's gone.
Nah, hang on, there's got to be. No, not in the first round, you're right.
Thank you. Okay. From the list in front of me, safety is a need for the Bengals, lads. Is this correct? My NFL knowledge is completely zero this year.
I think Jesse Bates is on his way out, isn't he? I think he's hitting the market.
Yeah. He's quite good, Jesse Bates. So,
all right.
Of Jaquan Baker, Jaquan Brisker, and Lewis Cine.
Scene.
Yeah. Who's the better safety, boys? Come on, help me out. We're taking a
Brisker.
Safety.
Brisker for me.
Are you going to believe the Big Ten fan?
And are you going to believe the Georgia fan?
George, who's the better safety out of those two?
I do like Brisker, and I'm going to have to pick Brisker because I've seen more of him. But in the championship game, I do want to go back and watch more Lewis Cine because he was someone that just, I think I said to Ash when we did the top 100 that I totally missed him off because I hadn't seen much of him and stuff and everything. And luckily, Jordan Battle went back to school for a reason, put Lewis Cine in there. So I haven't actually seen a lot of him. But what I did see in the championship game, I'd love to go back and watch him because he looked like he had a fantastic game and his speed to get up to make tackles and stuff and read the field. I don't know if that was just a one-off game. Obviously, Tom will tell us more, but he looked really, really good.
He's not afraid to hurt someone, I'll say that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Last year, what you'd know Lewis seen for was that ugly hit on Kyle Pitts in the cocktail party game. And I'd go to say he's matured this year and he's a better... Mm. More mature, more well-rounded player than he was.
He's Hammer a great
heart stocks. Jaquan Brisker is a better talent.
Sign is a great tackler, and he is an aggressive player, and I do like that about him.
Tom, me and you had a lot of discussions last year about aggressive players and my love affair for them. Mm. I just think Brisk is the more well-rounded safety at this stage. Yes, I have seen more of Brisker. So I obviously will have that. But he's a very intelligent safety, much like Hamilton. Not quite on the same level, but Brisker could get all over the field, make plays. He's very good at reading the quarterback from what I've seen. So I just think he's ready now. I think Sine maybe needs a little bit more time.
Well, we as an organisation in Cincinnati will take ready now. And Jaquan Brisker, welcome to the championship. Welcome to the Super Bowl winning Bengals.
Stocks, the city of Cincinnati aren't there to welcome him because they're travelling up to Green Bay with torches and pitchforks.
Do you know what? I can't say, I'm not going to say I hate Cincinnati because that's a lie. I hate the Bengals. I love Cincinnati. I can't get behind you saying Bengals and Super Bowl. That makes my skin crawl. So let's quickly move on, George, or the Dolphins.
Yeah, and obviously Trevor Penning's gone, but this guy is I don't know. I'd love to see hear your guys' takes on this. It's definitely a little bit of a reach by having an early second round grade on him. And I think he's been slept on a bit, really, to be honest with you. I think he's been fantastic for this team in college, especially this season. And we know how much Dolphins need some help on offensive line drastically, you know. But I'm going to pick Kentucky, Darian Kennard. I really like him. He's an early second round grade I've got on him. And he might be there when the Dolphins come back round. I think they've got an early second round pick. But I'm going to pick Darian Kennard. So, like I said, it'd be interesting to see what you feel about that pick, lads. But I really like him. I think he's a fantastic tackle that's been slept on. Really fantastic in protecting and in the run game as well.
Yeah, do you know what? I think one thing, I do think he'll transition to a guard when he gets to the NFL. Just because of everything I've seen from him. But I love his talent. I love his potential. He's really good in the sort of in the gap schemes, the zonal schemes. His size. Do you know what? It's quite surprising when you watch him on tape. For a lad that's, 6'5", 6'6", and touching 350 pounds, he moves incredibly well.
In the run game.
He moves incredibly well. The run game is where he's going to thrive, definitely. And those play-action pass plays, because of his athleticism for a bloke his size, I think is going to be a real bonus for him, but I do see him at a guard at the next level. I don't know what the guard situation is like for the Dolphins.
They've got Robert Hunt, who's played a little bit of tackle. Mm-hmm. Austin Jackson, he was a first round reach when they took him.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. USC. Yeah.
He's been kicked inside. Liam Eichenberg's out at tackle. He's shown some promise. I think if you're going to bring him in to play at guard, I don't think there's too much of a problem there. But, you know, if you're bringing a right tackling, you've got to remember you've got a left-handed quarterback in Tua, and I'm not entirely sure, particularly with what we'll call a stout base for Darian Kennard as a pass protector. I'm not quite sure he's got that for Tua. If you were to kick him into guard, it looks like a more solid pick. And by all accounts, the Dolphins seem happy to run with Eichenberg another year and watch him develop.
Yeah. Big fan of Kennard as a talent, though, definitely. I'm intrigued to see if they do move him in to the inside. I just think everything that I've seen from him and history of players like this shows that that's probably where he's going to end up.
And, you know, as we've reeled off those names, you know, the Dolphins are always more than happy to put resources into the offensive line. Yeah. So, it's them reverting to type, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. It's 100% a Dolphins pick.
Detroit. Detroit.
Yeah. Take your pick.
I'm going to do what I threatened to do had I been the Titans. Jared Goff isn't long for this world as an NFL starter. So, Malik Willis, please.
Fair enough. But You say Jared Goff is not long for this world. Is Malik Willis ready?
No.
So you say one year behind Jared Goff and then it's Malik Willis time.
Yeah, and this was, you know, poetically, this was the pick that the Rams gave to the Lions to take Goff off the hands. And you know, what better way to stick it to them than pick up his replacement. And I mean, the Lions will be in a situation that the San Francisco 49ers have not been in that the Lions are probably not going to be a great football team. Goff isn't going to be great at quarterback, and people are going to be clamoring for Willis to see the field. And he isn't ready yet, no. But he's a high ceiling player. He's one of those quarterbacks that, like Goff, he's going to be good in play action, but unlike Goff, he's far more mobile. And so I think in terms of learning behind Goff in how to utilise play action, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't know how Detroit fans will feel about it, but I don't really care.
No, do you know what? I think Detroit fans would be happy with it if he was to start, because mm-hmm. they need a different quarterback, let's be honest with you. And like I've alluded to a couple of times, I don't think he's ready, but he's not far off. I'm not saying he's a developmental talent that has to sit. I think we've seen in his time at Liberty that he can make plays. He's, as you say, he's incredible with his feet, and he has got a good arm, especially on those middle of the field throws. It's his consistency and his overall timings that concern me. And when you're on a team like the Lions, you're not going to have any time. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I don't like the fact that he's going to have to start straight away, or he's going to have to sit behind Jared Goff. Neither of those is a good scenario.
He's got the same concerns that Jordan Love had. The difference is it's a very different landing spot.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%. And it's me to wrap it up with the Chiefs at 32. What we said, luxury pick, or are we going for, I don't know.
Well, the last time they were in this position, they went luxury pick and took Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that, not entirely sure that has panned out exactly how they wanted. No. So perhaps this should be a sensible one.
Maybe, but I'm not going to do that.
Yes.
No, do you know what? I'm leaning towards a wide receiver here, I think, is...
No, that's a luxury on the Chiefs.
It is a luxury. It is a luxury. What else? Maybe cornerback, but what cornerbacks are left on my board?
George can see one.
I've just clocked him straight away. To be fair, I have got him at 24. He is, if I'm going for best player available on my draft board, it should be this guy. And then that's probably more of a luxury than taking a wide receiver. Or do I go edge? Because there is an edge that's not far behind him, and they could do with an edge as well. No, I am going to go cornerback. I'm going to go Trent McDuffie from Washington and shore up that cornerback, because what they got, Mike Hughes, and that's about it really, isn't it? They've got Ward and DeAndre Baker, but are they the answers? No, probably not. And Trent McDuffie, I mean, Tom, we spoke about him a number of times last year, and we thought that he was going to be coming out. He didn't. He ended up staying in school for another year. And I think that's done him a world of good, because he's just improved as the year's gone on, from an already great cornerback that's in the run game. Run defense in particular is where he really thrives. He's a great tackler. He shreds blocks from wide receivers with ease, and he's good at reading the game, and his reactions are right up there with the best of them when it comes to dissecting and getting to the play. And I think
Daniel Jeremiah Ash has got him as a top 10 player.
And do you know what? Maybe a little bit high, but it doesn't surprise me, because it's definitely there. It's definitely there. I think I've seen him struggle at times when he's come up against those big wide receivers. That's times where he has struggled because of his size, because he's not the biggest guy. I think he's just under 6 foot. that could have an adverse effect on him, but everything else about his game is impressive to me. And I don't think the Chiefs would be at all concerned if it was McDuffie that landed with them there.
I can see him. Like, obviously, he's already a good talent anyway. I can see him blowing up in the combine. You know, when he puts up numbers. You know, like you mentioned, he's so athletic. He's not the biggest guy, but his leap is unbelievable, and he gets up right high and he can make plays on the ball. And obviously, Huskies have had had a bad season this season, but that's nothing to do with the pass defense. They were unbelievable, and I think they're in the top five still in college on how many passing yards he let, and he was a big part of it. And yeah, he's a freak of an athlete, you know, speed wise and stuff. And there is some stuff to work on, like you mentioned, you know, up against big bodied receivers. But I think he definitely, I'm not sure about top 10 pick, I see it, but definitely first round pick, no doubt.
Yeah, he's first round for me as well. First round talent, definitely.
Well, that's it. All 32 picks. Ash, are we going to have a run through, or are we just going to for the video?
No, I think we should. I think we should have a run through. Do you want me to? Do you want me to do it, or do you want to?
No, carry on. It's in front of you.
It is in front of me. You're not wrong. So we'll speed through them. At number one, Jacksonville Jaguars took Evan Neal, offensive tackle from Alabama. Detroit Lions at two took Aiden Hutchinson, edge from Michigan. At three, the Texans chose Kayvon Thibodeau, edge from Oregon. The New York Jets, with their first pick, took Carl Hamilton at number four, safety from Notre Dame. The Giants, with their first round pick, took Kenyon Green, offensive guard, Texas A&M, at number five. The Panthers do what the Panthers do and took quarterback Sam Howell at number six from UNC. The Giants' second pick of the draft at number seven, they took George Karlaftis at the edge from Purdue. What is he, the Greek Freak, Tom, did you say? Is that his nickname?
That's the one.
The Falcons at eight took Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback from LSU. Stocks Broncos took Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah, at nine. The Jets' second pick of the draft was Andrew Booth Jr., cornerback from Clemson. And then Washington, again, do what Washington do and took a quarterback in the first round with Matt Corral from Mississippi at 11. The Vikings took David Ajoba at number 12, edge from Michigan. The Browns took Drake London, wide receiver at 13. The Ravens took Akeem Ekwonu, offensive tackle slash guard at number 14 from NC State. Eagles, with their first of three picks in quick succession, took Tyler Lindenbaum, center from Iowa, at 15. They then followed that up at 16 with the cornerback Ahmed Gardner from Cincinnati. At 17, Herbert got himself another weapon in Garrett Wilson, a wide receiver from Ohio State. Back-to-back wide receivers here. 18, the New Orleans Saints took Treylon Burks, a wide receiver from Arkansas, much to Tom's dismay. And then Eagles, with their third pick in the first round at number 19, took N'Kobe Dean, linebacker from Georgia. Pittsburgh Steelers get their quarterback of the future, Kenny Pickett, staying in town, quarterback from Pittsburgh. 21, New England Patriots took a New England Patriots player, Daxton Hill, safety out of Michigan. Raiders took a risk, like they always do, and another Alabama wide receiver, like they always do. 22, Jameson Williams. 23, Arizona Cardinals took Charles Cross, offensive tackle from Mississippi State. The Cowboys at 24 took DeMarvin Leal, defensive tackle from Texas A&M. It was back-to-back defensive tackles. The Buffalo Bills took Jordan Davis at number 25, defensive tackle from Georgia. Tennessee Titans got themselves a weapon in Chris Olave, wide receiver from Ohio State, at 26. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers may be losing their quarterback, but they've got themselves a cornerback at 27 with Kareem Elam from Florida. Green Bay Packers broke Bengals' hearts at number 28, take a Trevin Penning, offensive tackle from Northern Iowa. The Bengals took Jaquan Brisker, safety from Penn State, at number 29. Miami took another offensive tackle, Darian Kennard from Kentucky. The Lions chose Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty, as they would do, because, you know, who needs a quarterback that's ready to start now? And the Chiefs round it up at number 32, Trent McDuffie, cornerback from Washington.
Very well done, sir. Very well done indeed.
Thank you, Muchley.
Not many trip-ups at all. first mock draft, boys, how do we think it went?
Some surprises.
Do you know what? Most of the players that have been selected, I'm not surprised have gone in the first round. Some selections to certain teams may be a bit surprising, but
you're welcome.
No. I think we've all had one or two, but I'm not. Yeah, there's no real surprises here for me in terms of the actual players themselves. Is there anyone that you're surprised hasn't been selected?
Trent McDuffie was the person I was looking at when it came to you, Ash. That I thought this is the person that teams are going to be ringing up the Jaguars for to trade up and take him first pick.
Yeah.
Beyond that, there's not a huge amount sort of standing out. I mean, I can see David Bell being a late third rounder. After that, not really. There's nobody sort of standing out to me as an absolute first rounder that didn't get picked.
No, for me, you mentioned in there, David Bell is on the cusp. And then Kingsley and Agbar, the edge from South Carolina, I think is possibly in contention. I think we're so focused on those top three or four defensive ends in this class. And Agbar's getting a bit overlooked, but he's got a first round grade for me. And then, I mean, Carson Strong as well. I mean, he's got to be up there, surely. No, genuinely, I am a massive fan of Carson Strong. I just think the three quarterbacks that have gone in this draft are above him currently for me in my own personal top 100. But yeah, still a big fan. And if Pittsburgh go for him over Kenny Pickett, I won't have any issues with that.
I'm hugely surprised that after, you know, we saw Joe Burrow go number one after the season he had at LSU, and then Bailey Zapp goes out and beats it all, and nobody's talking about Bailey Zapp in the first round. It's absolute craziness. But no, you're right. I don't think there's been anybody that's been left out in a dramatic fashion. But it's it was good. It was intense. I found it incredibly testing at times. But I think we all came away winners, which is good. I think the real winners is Rush Nation, because we've managed to prize Tom back onto the podcast. So it's been an absolute pleasure to have you back, buddy. We hope you'll come back again. Mate. You know, the door is always open. We always appreciate your presence. So please do come back and say hi more often.
Absolutely. Well, you know, free agency is going to come along and deem this entire process absolutely, you know, null and void. So, you know, we'll have to come back and do it again after free agency.
100%.
Well, on that bombshell, Jord, there's not much left to say, is there? I mean, he's destroyed the exit gates right there. Honestly, you know, Jord, thanks for coming back. I'm pleased I managed to get a Utah player for Broncos. Bit of Pac-12 love in there if no one else did. It's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for coming back.
No, thank you for having me on. And yeah, we always get a few Pac-12, even if it's not any of you three, I'll get one in.
Ash, as always, mate, thank you for running the machine. You did a sterling job with the recap as well. Rush Nation, don't forget to head over to the website. Mock drafts are dropping. Tom has dropped two now. Jord almost had one drop and then told me not to because he wanted to update it, which is fair enough. And thanks for that, buddy. And there'll be player profiles and stuff getting there very soon. From Ash, from Tom, from Jord, and from myself, this has been the first 5-Yard College Mock Draft. Saturdays are for Rushing 2.